This morning's Bible reading is the final chapter of the book of Hosea, chapter 14. You'll find it on page 643 of the Church Bible. Hosea chapter 14. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion.
I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I'll be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendour will be like an olive tree, his fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. People will dwell again in his shade. They will flourish like the grain. They will blossom like the vine. Israel's fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I am like a flourishing juniper. Your fruitfulness comes from me.
Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them.
Well, good morning. It is great to see you. Special welcome to those who are new or those who we haven't seen for a while. Great to see you, Alice. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now, wanting you to feed us by your word. Whatever sort of week that we have had or lies ahead of us, we ask that you teach us from your word. And may we see more of you, more of your Son, and your will for us in him. And by your Spirit. Amen. Well, I do hope that Hosea has spoken to you these last 4 weeks, that this message of amazing, crazy love has had an impact on you, that you've seen maybe in a new light that the faithfulness of God and have been moved to want to be faithful to him. One of the biggest ways that it has impacted me, I've felt the weight of sin. And the longer that I'm a Christian, really the more I see the depths of my sin and how much I need him and his grace. So that's hit me, seeing the depths of sin. But I think we've seen in this also, greater than our sin is his love. Now that has struck me again and again. Just how much we need his grace, his forgiveness. Alan spoke about the anger of God that we've heard here, the righteous anger. How much we need his grace, his forgiveness, if we are going to be right with him. And how good it is, how glorious is the gospel, knowing that that grace, that forgiveness is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in this final chapter, Hosea 14, we're going to see again the love of God, his love that forgives, but not just that, his love that enables us to flourish, enables you to flourish in him. That's what we want, isn't it? We want a productive life. A life that is fruitful. Now we want God to use our life, don't we, for his good purposes. So that's where this chapter pushes us. If you've got your handout, you'll see an outline there. And we'll see there a passionate plea to repent, then a prodigious promise to restore, and we'll finish with that question, who is wise? So firstly, a passionate plea to repent, verses 1 to 3. Now if we think about Israel, where did she go wrong? Where did Israel go wrong? At the time it was 8th century BC, and life was pretty good. Right, there was a bit of affluence, there was peace, there was comfort. And maybe that was the problem, that things got too comfortable for the people of Israel. And their growing wealth was matched by a growing complacency towards God. And they came to love all sorts of things around them, things of the world. So it got to the point where there was no difference between them and the nations around them. And they even started to worship their gods. So really they paid nothing more than lip service to the Lord their God, which was tragic. And we've seen what a scary prospect that is and what that has meant as we've worked through this book. Now, I wonder if we are in a similar danger. Are we like Israel in any way? Christians today, Christians in Sydney, us here this morning, where there is wealth and comfort and peace. Could that mean that we become complacent, self-sufficient, or not a whole lot different to the people around us? Well, there is. Like, there is a marked difference between us and the people of the world. But it's so easy for us, isn't it, to get caught up in the pursuits of the world. The people around us, it's the air we breathe, and it's just very easy for us to get caught up into it as well. And that can happen without us even realizing it. We just get sucked in and caught up, and before we know it, we're just pursuing the same things that the world is. So the challenge for us is to be a people who live in the world, but not to be of the world. And Hosea's message to Israel is really going to be the same message to us today, isn't it? God's people today. And it is a passionate plea to repent. Now God has laid it all out. His love, his immense love for his people, his compassion, he's laid it all out. We've seen how angry he is, and the only right response for his people really is for them to throw themselves at him. Right? Grace is on offer, his compassion. They've got to throw themselves at him and accept this love and compassion that he has. So have a look, verses 1 to 3. Hosea says to them, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, 'Forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips.' Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say 'our gods' to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion." He calls them to repent of their sins, to turn from it and to turn to him. And he calls them to confess their sin to God, ask for forgiveness that he might graciously have us back. Now we know it's in the Lord Jesus that we are forgiven. But we must be very careful not just to take that for granted. Because God cares how we live. Right? Now that we are forgiven, now that we are his people, God cares how we live. So we mustn't take the fact that we are forgiven, we mustn't take that lightly, thinking that it now doesn't matter what we do and how we live because we're forgiven, or it doesn't matter, he will forgive us. And we will struggle, and that's okay, that's expected, but we mustn't become complacent. Let us not be complacent with sin, but let us acknowledge it, confess it, and repent from it. So is there an area in your life where you know it's not what God has called for you? As someone who is now his child, you know that this is not in line with his word and what he would have you live. You know he's got something far greater for you, but you persist in this other thing anyway, thinking, oh, it doesn't really matter. It does. I had a crazy thought. What if we took a typical day and then showing on the screen, you've got 60 seconds of my life, whatever it is that I happen to be doing at that time. And then it goes to the next person, Valerie, and we see 60 seconds of her life. And progressively throughout the day, we just move from one person to the next and we get these snapshots, 60 seconds, whatever it is that you are doing or thinking at the time, but we all get to see that. Now that would be reality TV, wouldn't it? That would be fascinating. It might be a little bit scary as well. Like what would people see? Would we be hoping, I hope it's not this 60 seconds. But then, is it a problem if we're more concerned what one another might see or think of us, but not care what God sees? And he sees us all the time. Now if we think about this a little bit further, maybe the two biggest areas in thinking about this, sex and money. Sexual immorality. Now I'm convinced that this is not just a guy thing. So women, being faithful to your husbands in thought, in words, in action, and how you think and speak of other men. In Ephesians 5, Paul there, he calls us his people. He says, Ephesians 5 verse 1, he says, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. That is big. Then he says, very next verse, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Not for his holy people. So if there is in your life, and there will be in a group this size, then God is saying to you this morning, then repent. Repent of that. Turn to him, ask for forgiveness, that he would graciously forgive you. And then in the same line, as Paul talks about sexual immorality, he goes on and he speaks of greed, money, materialism. Now, we are a people, we have so much, but it's so easy for us to keep wanting more and more. So a lot of us, including me, we need to learn to be content with whatever it is that God has given us, because that is enough. And maybe also learn that the joy of giving to others. I've been so encouraged lately, seeing the generosity of some. And it is a joy to give. I know it is. Especially to kingdom work, what God is doing around the world. So Hosea's message is turn to the Lord, repent and receive forgiveness. As people who have received forgiveness, but still sin, we need to keep turning to God. We need to keep returning to the cross. His forgiveness is amazing, but let us not take that lightly. And let's see what it is that he has called us to now that we are his forgiven people, and let's have eyes for that. And verses 4 to 8 go on and tell us exactly what that is, what he calls his people to do. So here we have a prodigious promise to restore. And you got to love verse 4, don't you? Have a look there. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely. That's great, isn't it? I will heal their waywardness and love them freely. God will heal your waywardness and love you freely. Right, that is great, isn't it? And then the verse continues, for my anger has turned away from them. And his anger has turned away from us and has turned on his son. Forgiveness comes at the cost of Jesus taking our sin upon himself. And now forgiven, now healed, God has plans to make us flourish in him. Not necessarily flourish in the ways of the world, but in Christ. And it says it will be appealing, it will be attractive to some in the world. Now if you have a look at verses 5 to 7, we've got an image here of a flower, of a tree. It blossoms, it's healthy, it's strong, and it bears fruit. It's a picture of God's people. This is what he wants for you, to be productive and fruitful. So have a listen from verse 5. God says, I will be like the dew to Israel. He, Israel, will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree. His fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. Men will dwell again in his shade. He will flourish like the grain. He will blossom like a vine. And his fame will be like the wine from Lebanon. All right, you got a sense, got a picture of God's people there. Being renewed and refreshed by God every day. By his word, by his presence. That sort of reminds me of the image that we get in Psalm 1. Of that tree that is planted by streams of water. The person who is renewed and refreshed by God, by God's word, and drinks from God, taking in his word. This is a picture of being strong and established. Roots that go deep and new shoots that come up and grow. And others come to benefit. From the fragrance, from the shade. This is a picture of God's people flourishing when they repent and give themselves to God and his ways. Now, this is a glorious picture of what God promises for his people. Now, is this what you want for yourself, for us as a church? Giving yourself to God and letting him grow you so that you can be a blessing to the people that God has put around you in your life. It's a picture of the gospel coming into us, but then flowing out of us. Now, this is what we have here. This is what God wants for you. Now, I've spoken a few times about how we can be happy for Jesus to sit in the passenger seat. But we might be reluctant to give him the keys and to let him take the steering wheel of our life. Now, there's truth in that, but I've rethought it. And I think I've been driving the wrong vehicle. And I'm not talking about my Corolla. I think it's more like that we've got to let him be the pilot of the plane. We've got to get on board with him and what he is doing. Because the car, really, that's still my life and where I want to go. But God has something bigger in mind. And that is what we need to see. He's got something bigger in mind for us, his redeemed people. And it's letting him totally control that and us being on board with him. Not just having him in part of our life, but us getting on board with what he is doing in this world, in his people, in you. So he promises here to make us flourish, but in what he is doing. His plans, his purposes for our life. And he says that our fruitfulness In verse 8, where does it come from? Your fruitfulness comes from me. God says he will make you fruitful. So the question is, who is wise? Who is wise this morning? Hosea finishes this chapter, finishes his message, his whole message to God's people with these words. Verse 9, who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. Who is wise amongst us? He, she will repent and turn to the Lord, for his ways are right, and the righteous walk in them. But the rebellious, they stumble. I don't want to stumble. I don't want you to stumble either. I want us to know him who heals, to know him who forgives, to know him who makes us flourish in Christ, in his plans and purposes. So let me ask you this morning, are you wise? Are you wise? Do you not just know these things, but have you taken them to heart to live them out in your life? That brings us to the end of Hosea. But I can't help but think, what happened to Gomer? Whatever happened to Gomer? We don't know, do we? And the last that we've heard from her is back in chapter 3. Did she prove to be faithful to Hosea? Did she learn to embrace his amazing love towards her? Like, think of Hosea and how gracious, like, for him to forgive her, to have her back. Did she embrace his love? We don't know. And it doesn't really matter, does it? What matters is our response. What matters this morning is your response and what you are going to do with this word of Hosea that we have heard these last 4 weeks. In the Lord, there is forgiveness. And he wants to make you and your family flourish, not in the way of this world, but in the way of Christ. He wants to make your faith flourish, your trust in him, that whatever is happening in your life, the ups and the downs, that you are trusting him. Turning away from the ways of the world and trusting him, whatever comes to you in your life, and that every day you are embracing his amazing love and faithfulness towards you. Is that what you want? Let me pray. Now, Father, we do thank you for everything that you have taught us from the prophet Hosea about yourself, about us, and we pray that we would have a growing love for you, knowing just how much you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.